You and me, we used to be together, every day together, always. I really feel that I'm losing my best friend. I can't believe this could be the end.
It looks as though you're letting go, and if it's real, well, I don't want to know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 47 of Oral Intensity, a podcast about Glee. I'm Dan.
And I'm Clara.
And today we're talking about episodes 3 and 4 of season 4, entitled...
Makeover and the Breakup.
Much like your voice is currently breaking up. Yeah, so...
How to fix that?
I don't know. It's probably in my connection. I apologize. I hope this doesn't break up too much. So we're on Skype, people. Listen, as you can probably tell by now. So there are probably going to be some glitches here. My internet's more buggy this year than it was last year. And we're going to hope for the best.
Yay.
we haven't been around for quite a while. I like forget how to do one of these things. It's crazy. Doesn't it feel like so long?
Yeah, but it's like riding a bike.
Yeah, we'll get right into it. So Dylan's not here. We'll try to get her back at some point soon. Scheduling, it's just, we don't even really have, like, excuses this time. It's just been scheduling has been difficult. I've been busy. Clara's been busy.
And we've all been busy in, like, different ways.
Yeah. It's a crazy, crazy time in college.
We're getting so old.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I feel like we might have more time when we get a little bit older, because at least we'll have, like, weekends off, hopefully, and, like...
That's true. God, I can't wait for that.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I'm just going to go through the litany that we usually do at the end, to the beginning, just so I don't forget to do it. I don't know why I put it at the beginning, but I was just like, I wanted to put it at the beginning. So, if you want to email us, you can do so at oralintensitypodcast@gmail.com. That's...
Wait, why are you saying this?
I'm doing it now. I'm just doing it. Deal with it.
This is wrong.
oralintensitypodcast@gmail.com. If you want to check out the blog, it's oralintensitypodcast.blogspot.com. And if you want to rate us or review us on iTunes, we'd much appreciate it. Thank you to those who have. I haven't actually looked at that in a while. I should look at that. Oh, I remember why I put this at the beginning. I put it at the beginning because I wanted to remind myself to say from the get-go that because we have so much to talk about, because we have 2 episodes to go over and they're like pretty important episodes, I don't think we're going to read emails, even though we have some. So I apologize to people who sent them in. It's just been like so long since I looked at them, because I looked at them when episodes first happened, and I was just rushing to get the whole outline together, and I just didn't get to it. And we also have to get so much of this done quickly as possible, because we both have homework to do. So I apologize. Send emails in the future, and we'll make more time, because we'll only have 1 episode to talk about, assuming that we stay on track, which I hope we do. All right. Makeover. What'd you think?
I didn't really like it
yeah.
that much. I didn't think there was that much that was interesting. I'm sort of... Here's the thing, is basically I'm pretty much done with the McKinley High plot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find any of it that interesting.
Yeah.
And so this episode definitely, like, there were things that were going on in New York.
Yeah.
But it was still more focused on McKinley
yeah.
with the race and whatever.
Yeah.
So I would say C+, B-.
Okay. I remember that when I first saw the episode, I was actually I was pretty positive on it. But rewatching it today, I think I'm going to give it a B-. The thing is, overall, I'm not a huge fan of the McKinley stuff anymore, and it feels like we're just, like, retreading old territory in some ways. But at the same time, I don't, like, I pointed out right in the notes that we have two Brittany episodes in a row, two heavy, heavy Brittany episodes in a row, and we all know how I feel about Brittany at this point. But the thing that I do like about McKinley is I have been enjoying Blaine a lot in this episode, and both of these episodes I really like Blaine. And I also have been I've been enjoying Sam and his strange role as being everybody's buddy and strange. I mean, like, it's really random. And I don't like that they made him so stupid that he doesn't know what a debate is, but aside from that, I've been enjoying Sam.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just, I don't know. I thought that the. I guess it was probably also when I first saw it was partial excitement for going into breakup because I liked like the end of the episode with Rachel and Brody and Finn coming
Yeah.
and I liked I mean I liked parts of the Sarah Jessica Parker thing.
I liked the Sarah Jessica
Yeah,
Parker.
it was I felt like it happened maybe a little too quickly, like sudden friendship that's like so intense, but like
But yeah, no, I mean, I
yeah.
like that.
All right. So, oh yeah. I mean, do we want to go in the order that I wrote notes in, or do you we just want to talk about certain storylines, or what?
Have no problem, Stan.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna go through my bullet points, and if you have anything you want to throw in about a certain storyline, we can do that.
Sounds good.
All right. So, I mean, I put that we had two Britney episodes in a row. Wasn't happy about that, and
Yeah, me neither. I just.
I was particularly not happy when, because she starts her speech being like, "I love McKinley High," blah blah blah. I was like, maybe they'll like go back to her old emotional intelligence."
Yeah, exactly. I thought that too.
I thought she was gonna bring out like this really like heartfelt thing about like how important the school was to her and how important the student body was to her, and people would be like, "Oh," and then they vote for her. But like instead, she has to like be way over the top, and no. Wasn't funny. That's the other problem. Like, she's just stupid for the sake of being stupid now. It's not funny. Like,
I agree.
yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. Oh, I put the. What did you think of the Blaine joining all those really ridiculous random clubs?
Okay. What is superhero sidekick club even? Like, I was actually really curious about that because I got the Dungeons and Dragons club and like sewing club, those can be clubs. But what is the superhero sidekick club?
Yeah, and also, why is it like Sidekick specifically?
Right, why would you want that?
Yeah, I can understand like a comic book club, but this is like a club specifically devoted to dressing up as Sidekick characters and jumping around.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I just want to know who thought that because like someone had to think about that and put it in the script.
It seems like whoever wrote the episode is a comic book fan because they also have the later on thing with Cyclops and Wolverine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if they just wanted to do that. But yeah, that was random. Maybe okay, what do you think of the whole I mean, this is getting the song territory which we usually do at the end, but what did you think of the whole Britney Sam makeover song thing?
Yeah, I didn't get it. What did it what?
Yeah, it was really random. I don't it
And also it was like basically like why was Sam did Sam need to have a makeover? Like
I think
what?
yeah, I thought the I think the idea was to make Sam look like a more like respectable candidate or something.
But then why did he start stripping during the debate?
He was supposed to, and then it was like off book.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
That's not fair, honestly.
Don't know. Just a lot of the Sam stuff didn't make sense, and like, there's no reason for that. I don't see why he can't just be a dork.
Why you can't just be what?
A dork.
Yeah, I agree. I know that I understand that it was part of his character in the past that he was a stripper, but that doesn't mean that it needs to be brought up like every single time we see him now. I don't care about that part of him. It's not enjoyable. Like, and that whole song just I was just like, what are they doing? Like they're just like walking around presidentially, like what is the feelings of this song? Are they angry that they're being made over? Are they excited to be made over? I have no idea.
I don't know. Also, I just thought that it wasn't really great for their voices.
Yeah, it was just weird. I mean, I like the idea of them, the two of them singing together once in a while, but it was just, I don't know.
Yeah, but that wasn't how to
What?
that wasn't how to do it.
Yeah, I agree. You're so breaking up. I don't know what's wrong with it.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. I don't know if it's. I mean, can you hear me well?
Yeah, totally fine.
Okay, so maybe. Do you think we should just like end the call and just see if it will help, just in case?
Sure.
Hello? All
Hey.
right, good. Talk more.
Yes, blah, blah, blah,
Okay, you
blah.
sound way better. I plugged
Okay.
in my Ethernet cord.
Okay, yeah, that'll probably help a lot.
Yeah. All right. So I apologize to people for technical difficulties. I tried to plug in my Ethernet cord, so hopefully Clara will sound better now. All right. So I just wanted to say I noticed after last episode's beautiful sponsoring of X Factor through the Britney episode, this week we have a Demi Lovato reference. So, X Factor gets its plug once again.
Right.
Do you want to talk about the Smash thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, what is this idea that, like, you go from the Midwest to New York City and, like, you need a makeover? Like, that's a trope, I guess.
Yeah.
But
No, it's a weird th I think it's even larger. It is all connects back to if you're from the Midwest, you're like gonna be prudish. So you in order to be part of the big city, you have to become a sexual object and get a makeover. Basically.
yeah, obviously, Dan.
That's what they're pretty much what they're saying in both this and Smash, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't know. It seems weird. What did you, okay, so what did you think about this whole thing of her getting a makeover?
Who?
Rachel.
No.
Yeah.
I just like what? She's very stylish already.
Yeah.
All. Also, just, I mean, okay, whatever. Is she gonna look like that forever now?
I think so. I think it's like, okay, she did her like phase of being a geeky dork person. Now she's grown into a woman and she's sexy.
But, like, she had her own style before, and now she just is sort of, like, lame.
Well, I pointed out in the notes that he's literally only wearing gray and black. So it's like you can
Right.
only be mature if you're wearing gray and black. I mean, like, what are the
Yeah.
Plus, she was already wearing gray and black before the makeover. Like, she's like goes to the makeover wearing this gray and black outfit, and then all
I
the
feel
makeover
like,
changes to this, it becomes like sexier and more form-fitting.
yeah, I feel like she had a style before,
Yeah.
and now she's much less stylish because she's not like doing her own thing.
Yeah.
It's a very Unglee type of message
Oh,
that
yeah, I
must.
thought in general this whole thing was. Well, so do you want to talk about the message in general?
Well, I have no idea what the message is, honestly, Dan. I mean, so it's either that first the outside changes and then the inside changes to match the outside,
Yeah.
or first the inside changes and then the outside changes to match the inside.
Yeah. So,
The second one is a more Glee kind of message, right?
I mean, the way they actually put it, like in dialogue, they have Kurt going, Rachel is so much more confident now because of the new clothes, and whereas.
How was Rachel not confident before?
No, but she wasn't. Okay, so that's the thing that makes me not agree with Brody's thing, where he says now the outside is caught up with how you feel about yourself. Rachel is an incredibly unconfident character in her. I mean, she's obviously really confident about her singing ability, but she's always been like incredibly like not confident about her looks, and she's always been like, I'm ugly, I'm not sexy. Quinn is
Okay, yeah,
me.
I guess.
So I don't believe that the I don't. I think what it could be is like, you could say the outside now matches how great of a person you are. That could be what they could be a positive message, maybe. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know.
What about Beast?
Yeah, I don't know. But they're saying like the makeover will help that to happen. I don't know. It's a weird message. I don't.
May What I honestly thought was that like we were supposed to now see that like, oh no, Brody is changing the way Rachel thinks, and like now that they're in New York, they're losing their like small town values, and which Sarah Jessica Parker warns Kurt, like she's like,
No, but
never lose that.
Kurt and Isabella are the one that ones that give her the makeover in the first place.
I know. I know. I mean, actually, I don't know.
You want to talk more about Isabel? Whose name I
I
didn't even know was Isabel for like most of the episode, and then I was like, oh, okay, it's Isabel.
I like her. She's I'm really glad she's not obnoxious.
Yeah.
I'm glad that like one of her defining characteristics is like she's a nice person.
Yeah.
That's always refreshing to me in this show.
And I do have to say, I mean, like, okay, it's clearly something. I mean, I guess Kirk got his dramatic stuff in the next episode, but I do really like, I mean, because it's a little bit too like perfect there. But I did, but at the same time, I really did like, you know, the scenes of, you know, he's with the group of people, and he's talking about the movies that came out before his
Yeah.
time. And then even in the next episode, that guy who works at the office is like talking to him and being nice to
Yeah.
him.
No, I really like that.
Yeah.
I think actually it might not be like, oh, it's too nice. Like, it might be really nice because then it means that Kurt will end up going into fashion instead of
Yeah.
to re-audition for Niada.
And I think it gives a positive, like, it gets better message to people. Like, he clearly fits in now and is at a really good place. And
Yeah.
so, oh yeah, I like this whole card thing. I guess I, some reason I maybe it's because of Blaine and I how much I really like Blaine in this episode. I maybe like dislike Kurt a little bit, but like, I mean, I don't
Yeah, but on the other hand, like that is such a like typical sort of like what happens between friends from high school.
Yeah.
Like you're so caught up, especially if it's friends in high school who are still in high school.
Yeah.
They're just very different lives that you lead,
Yeah.
especially because Kurt's not in school, he's working.
Yeah.
It's a completely different lifestyle. I mean, how much can he and Blaine really have in common at this point? You know, like.
Yeah, especially, I mean, yeah, if you if one person's talking about school like school elections and the other person's talking about like working at Vogue.com, it really does almost feel like you're talking to your younger brother or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's weird. Okay, so we have the end of the bow tie era. I don't know if this is
Yeah.
forever, but that's interesting. I think it was a, I think it was a good choice.
I think so too.
Yeah. I also have a list of these meta moments that the show has, where they call
That was my favorite part of this episode. Like, honestly, their meta moments saved this episode for
Yeah.
me.
Which ones did you like the most?
My favorite was when they were talking about like the competition rules.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, wait, why do some teams get to sing six and other teams get to sing one
Yeah.
song?
That was pretty funny. And I liked that Sue like was the one running the election and was like, for some reason the vice presidential can't part just came for no reason and only the Glee Club is allowed to be part of it. So
Yeah.
that was fun. Yeah, we talked about the message. I really liked I mean the parts of this episode that I really like, enjoyed were after Blaine won the election and the scenes with Sam and Blaine and the scene with Sam and what's her butt, Brittany, right after. I guess like I thought that was a very sweet, very two sweet moments, and I enjoyed them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh yeah, and then at the end of the episode, and so I don't know if you agree with this or not. I mean, it looks more likely now that we've seen the breakup. But I remember I was talking to my mom after that, after Makeover ended, and I was like, because of the whole Will storyline. Oh, which we should, I guess we should talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
because of the whole Will storyline, I was and Finn coming back, I was like, I bet Finn will take Will's place as the head of the Glee Club while Will's gone.
Yeah, I saw that on your outline and I thought that's a really fantastic idea.
Yeah.
It really is. I think that would make a lot of sense and that would help the show, I guess, be a little tighter.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's a short-term solution for a long-term problem.
Yes.
Gonna come back, but yeah, but I especially because we know in the episode that we're coming back with this coming week, we know that Finn brings Ryder, aka Blake, to assuming he's like the new, maybe Ryder will be singing in the shower, and it'll all
Oh,
circle.
boy, that would be great.
All right, what do you want to talk about this wheel thing at all? I don't know if there's anything you want to say about it.
The Will thing. Well, so wait, I was actually, I don't know whether I like blanked out, whether I was doing something else. Like, what is Will doing? He's going to DC to do something about the arts.
A
And
Blue
Stu
Ribbon
found,
committee.
right, and Stu found this job for him.
No, Sue didn't find the job for him. This is okay, so he was ahead. So first.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, I understand. I
Okay.
understand your confusion. So first he was gonna be the head of like the show choir committee for the Ohio or something.
Right,
That's
I
my
remember
first thought
that.
was. And they mentioned because Scarlet Fever guy came back, who you know is my favorite character of all time.
Right. I remembered that he was your favorite character while watching him.
So because he came back and said that, like, oh, they're cutting all the arts stuff, and they're like, we need someone to fight for arts education. And so they're like, you know, there's this Blue Ribbon Committee, and I bet someone should go on that and try to fight for arts education and stuff. And it's like, I guess the committee is like to get arts education, have a bigger role in schools, and get back to having a higher ranking in schools or something.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of similar to the whole Sue running for office thing and about, like, you know, he wants to promote the arts in schools, basically.
All right.
I'll be really surprised if we actually see Will doing anything during this. I'm assuming Will's just gonna be off the show.
Well, but maybe he'll be there in DC and then that's how we'll see Bert.
That would be cool. That'd be kind of
But
cool.
then
No,
think about
that's
how
too crazy.
split the show would be.
Yeah. Yeah, how is Bert a freaking series regular? He's had
I don't
like
know.
10 minutes of on the show in the first four episodes.
I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe he'll have more. He and Finn can have moments now where he helps Finn become not so much of a poop head.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, is there anything else to talk about in this episode?
Okay, I have something to say. At the very end of the episode, when Rachel and Brody are drinking champagne and eating pizza, Brody is such a jerk. Like, if they dare to make him a good character, I'll be so pissed. Like, he can't be. They're giving him all the like creepy guy things. Like, he goes, I just want you to know that like this will be strictly hands off. 2 seconds later, leans in for a kiss.
Rachel gave him the signal when she looked down after he said that.
Right. I mean, like, he's not a bad character, and at this point, I'm actually maybe getting a little concerned, even though they're continuing to do all the like bad kid things with
Yeah.
him. I am
That
worried.
he's just gonna be a good guy.
It's not that he's gonna be a good guy, like a great guy, but like it'll be like, oh, this is someone who Rachel has a lot in common with, blah blah blah. They'll be boyfriend, girlfriend, blah.
Yeah, for like a certain amount of time. It'll be kind of like Riley on Buffy. I can see him being a Riley. But I can also, I mean, they said that they liked the idea of a lot of the characters being on their own this season. And I think maybe.
But the thing is, like, he's not just gonna go away. So he's either gonna have to be a dick.
Maybe Rachel should just do a friends with benefits thing now that she doesn't want to get into a relationship right after
Like,
Finn.
I think that would be so great for them to do. I
Yeah.
don't know if they would do it.
But I don't think he's the right guy for that to happen with, really.
He might be because I'm not sure that he wants a relationship.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying me not probably the right guy because she actually seems emotionally invested in him. So,
Well, I don't understand why, though.
because the story dictates it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. He won't be long term, at least. I don't know. Excuse me. I am at least happy that they seem to be, you know, trying new things with breaking people up and seeing how people can be on their own. I don't expect Kurt to be with anybody anytime soon.
Yeah.
And, I mean, anybody serious. Maybe he'll have like dates and stuff. See, we never have to see anybody dating on the show. They just like go on dates and stuff and like people and like
I
have
see
just
what you're
silly
saying.
things happen. All right, so we can just talk about the songs and then get into the breakup, I guess.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, so let me get the songs. Where is my thing? Here it is. Okay. I was looking at the new songs coming up, so I have to scroll up. Okay, so episode three, we have. Okay, actually, this brings me into a conversation I want to talk about with just about the music they've been picking this season in general. My parents are fans of the show, sort of. They've never been like as into it as others. They've never really been big fans of the story itself since season one, really. They like, you know, just hearing them sing and stuff, and they're really big fans of Smash now. But they're not happy with any of these episodes, really, because they feel like the music has been like overly generic and modern.
Yep.
Yeah, and I sort of do get that. It feels not only like these songs aren't like necessarily like very, very current pop hits or anything, but they're like very generic, most of them. I don't even.
Really, they're all songs that you hear in the mall.
Yeah, I can totally get that. I would not say all. I have a couple that I like, but I can overall understand what you're saying. I mean, for the first song that we're about to talk about, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, I don't agree. I like that song a lot. That's Tears for Fears, and Blaine sings it at the beginning of Makeover during the weird club montage. I'm a fan of that. You don't like it?
I mean, the only song I really liked in these two episodes was Teenage Dream.
Okay. Well, we can get to that in a second. Celebrity Skin is the one that Blaine, Sam, and Brittany are saying that we already talked about. We didn't like it. It was weird. The Way You Look Tonight and slash You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile was just random and strange. And also, like, is it just a fantasy sequence? Because she's not singing. Sarah Jessica Parker isn't like actually singing in this storyline, right?
No, she must not be. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell the difference between fantasy and reality on this show anymore at all, especially in New York.
Yeah, so that was a little weird. And then A Change Would Do You Good, which is, this is another really generic one, like really generic, I feel like, with Rachel and Brody. But this one's another weird, a weird. So is this the New York reality thing you were talking about, where they're like singing in the choir and like the dance room, and then they're like suddenly on a date, and then they go back to the dance room.
Right. So did the date happen?
I think the day it happened after. No, but she then says, "I want to."
I don't know.
I don't think the date ever happened.
Right.
I think
So
it happened in their head, and they were like, "Man, imagine if we had ice cream on our noses. That would be great."
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they have chemistry, I guess. I don't like their characters together, but I guess the actors are fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So the next thing is from the next episode. So let's talk about the next episode. What did you think of the breakup? This is the episode they've called the best episode they've ever done.
I really liked it. I think they shouldn't have done anything with what are their names? The new kids, you know what I mean? The kids back in McKinley who only exist in McKinley and don't have ties to the outside world.
Yeah, so I mean, that is very similar to what I put. I mean, I gave it an A minus specifically just because I thought too much was going on.
I would give it an A minus though,
Yeah,
because
I agree.
the stuff that I liked, I really, really
Yeah,
liked.
the highs were incredibly high, like way better than Glee usually does. It's just that there were it was also an example of we have too much going on, like, and they,
Why should have done a spin-off?
yeah, they it just. It clearly is like we're trying. We don't know what the show is anymore. We're unfocused. We're trying to be two shows at the same time, and I really love the New York scenes and storylines, but the other things got messed up. I thought the Will storyline and the Charlie storyline should have just been not in this episode at all.
Right, well, because they really just messed up both. Because the Will Emma thing, like, that's not how adults behave.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's be honest, that's not how you behave in a serious long-term relationship when your significant other is about to go to another place to work for an extended period of time, possibly for an even more extended period of time. Like, you don't just say like, no, I'm not going to go. How dare you even ask me? Like, that's just not how. But they didn't have enough time to do anything else. And then the thing where Kitty is just like, what is Kitty and
Yeah, okay. My theory here is they were like, you know, this is a real downer. We have a lot of the really dark stuff in a row. Maybe we should have something really ridiculous to lighten the mood for a little bit. That's what I think they were trying to do. I don't think I should have done it that way, but but yeah, that was weird. And yeah, no. Yeah, I guess let's talk about better stuff.
Sure.
First, I want to ask, are there really such things as semi-honorable discharges, or is that just like him?
I think that's mess that I don't think that's made that I mean, wait, let me put words together in a sentence. I don't think that's a real thing.
Okay, I didn't think it was either, but I was just like, Okay, so what actually happened? Did he get
Wait, hold on.
discharged?
Yeah, it's not a thing.
Okay. So what do you think of the whole reason for him leaving the army?
Did they have to do that? I mean, they it was basically like they oops. They wanted him to join the army at the end of last season, but they didn't want to follow through with him being in the army this season. So like he had to leave for some reason, and they didn't want it to be like an emotional one, like a really emotional one. So this is how they did it.
I feel like why couldn't he have, I mean, I guess the I was going to say why couldn't he have actually been in the army for 3 months and then had some sort of small injury where he couldn't do things anymore. But like I guess they wanted to have it happen really early on and have it be that his character was just too embarrassed to say anything. I
Yeah.
guess that contributes to his whole overall like I am a total freaking loser thing going on, but
Yeah.
how do you feel about Finn right now actually in general?
He reminds me of Will more now than he ever has. And so I think it'll be really great if what your if your prediction comes true.
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't like hate him or anything. I don't like I definitely feel bad for Finn, but at the same time, he's just like such a like everything's terrible. I am so incapable.
He's a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, it's just like, jeez, it's like. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps and do something with yourself. I don't know.
Mean, he is, they're so young.
Then he, yeah, then he needs. I guess really wanted either like okay. I needed either like a Bert pep talk to make him stop being that way, or him to like make himself stop being that way. He can't stay that way that long, otherwise I'll be annoyed.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a cute little Britannia thing for the first time at the beginning of the
Yeah.
episode.
I love them so much when they're together.
It was very sweet, and I like just seeing Santana in general back.
Yeah.
It's a, it's too many characters, but she is a fun addition. And then so okay, so we have the whole thing with Blaine again, and I definitely feel for Blaine. I feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that like they actually did something that Lee doesn't do very often, which is set things up in earlier episodes.
Yep.
Like, you know, we have had multiple episodes now with Brittany being upset about Santana not being there. We've had multiple episodes now with Blaine trying to get in contact with Kurt and it not working anymore and they're not being in sync anymore. So it,
Yep.
you know, it was a pay a good emotional payoff as opposed to being like suddenly like I can see in other seasons they would just be like at the beginning of the episode they're like, man, I miss Blaine, and then I miss Kurt, and then suddenly
Yeah.
they're gonna hook up with someone.
Yeah.
Okay, so
What I also really liked was that Blaine, I mean, just getting a little more into that, hooks up with someone who we don't know. That it doesn't have to be this, like, oh, Kurt, I hooked up with, I don't know, like, Sebastian. I mean, can you imagine how much more annoying that would be? Like, that would have just made it so different. But the fact that he hooked up with someone who, like, obviously didn't mean that much to him. You know, like, that just makes it so much better, I think, and so much more realistic. And poor Blaine.
And I'm also glad that we didn't see the scene of him hooking, like, that we didn't
Right,
see.
because that's tangential. The important thing is that he chose, that we saw him choosing to do that.
And they even did a little kind of like a cool like little fake out because you know we see him going to leave and then 5 seconds later we see him at New York, so it's like oh maybe he decided against it and went to New York,
Right.
so like you know it's they did it. I think they handled that really well.
I think they did that fantastically. That's not even an adverb, I don't think. It was fantastic.
And then I do have, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, is my only issue with Blaine cheating is that it kind of forces me to side with Kurt. And I just really liked Blaine up to this point, and I was like,
No, I think it's wonderful that they did this because I do find Blaine more like instantly likable than Kurt just because we know more about Kurt. We know a lot more about Kurt's character, so we know more of his flaws. We don't know as much about Blaine. But like this made it so that like, you know, good people can do bad things and make mistakes, especially when they're in very like uncomfortable, sad positions. I think that's so great that they didn't make it like he was being a villain.
Yeah, I agree.
That you could do sort of villainous things with while still being likable and not evil. It was
Yeah,
so.
and I mean, we were calling for this back last season, I remember. Like, they need to do something with Blaine to make him more of an actual human. We're like, maybe you should cheat on Kurt. So yeah, no, I mean, I'm just saying my issue, I guess, being like emotionally, I'm like upset about it. But like storyline wise, I totally agree with you. This was a really fantastic way to go. That there is no hero and there's no villain, and that it's just both of them are in a shitty position and sucks. All right, so I put this thing in here that I saw somebody else put on Twitter, and I kind of thought it was a fun thing that I agreed with. That I feel like the whole scene at callbacks and how it stretches out and is, first of all, beautiful that this entire storyline happens without cutting back to McKinley, pretty much. You get the whole callbacks thing, we get the whole thing after that, and the Kurt and Finn thing without any interruption. And I guess they said the callback. I saw someone said the callback scene is the best thing Glee has done since the party scene, and blame it on the alcohol. And I agree with that. I would say it's probably better, but it's one of the best things they've ever done in general, I would say.
Yeah, I think if this episode had only been about the people in New York,
Yeah.
well, okay, no, and then with Brittany and
Yeah,
Santana,
yeah.
I think this would have definitely maybe been the best episode they've done.
Yeah, I can agree.
And maybe it still is, because I do think this is the most they've ever looked into the characters and like they've ever had real questions about good and bad and growing up, and I think this is one of the most serious episodes they've done.
Totally. And I mean, yeah, I mean, what you said with the characters is something as similar to something that I wrote, because it just feels like they know the characters now, and they're like writing what the characters would actually say, and they can write legitimately great dialogue for them that say things that they're not holding anything back. They're not gonna like let things dangle at the audience and be like, I can't believe they didn't bring this up. They're gonna bring everything up, and it's all gonna be dealt with in a mature way, and it's really well done and really well acted and everything. Yeah, so I mean, I guess, and I thought the whole scene after callbacks and the way that they, sort of cut back and forth as they were walking between the two couples, I thought was really well handled, and the music and the lighting and everything, it was just all really well done.
And can we just, I mean, we'll talk about it again, I
Yeah.
guess, songs, but Teenage Dream.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my God.
That's why Blaine is so
Yeah,
fantastic.
no, that was really well done. That was really, it was, I don't even know. I mean, it was gut-wrenching. It was really hard to watch, especially multiple times, and it was just really emotional, and he did a great job. And everybody reacting to it, I thought did a great job too.
No, that might be my favorite moment in Glee.
Yeah. No, that was really well done.
And I remember seeing the internet react to when they heard that he was doing Teenage Dream during breakup.
Yeah.
And everyone was just freaking out. And I remember worrying, like, oh, this could just be sort of like, I don't know, sort of like cliche.
Yeah.
This could end up going sort of like stupidly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was executed so well.
Yeah, I think that completely goes to what's his butt? What's the actor name? I'm forgetting.
Darren
Darren
Criss.
Criss, yeah. I think that completely goes to Darren Criss, because I think if another actor was doing that and was given that it could have been very cliche, and I think that it was the way he handled it that made it work. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I also, I mean, it's just very like, they're not teenagers anymore, so I thought it was very,
Oh, it was so perfect, and I didn't think that they could make that song fit, and it would just be like, oh no, but it was absolutely appropriate for the situation. It was moving because of the continuity. It was moving because of the perform. It was so fantastic. I thought that the callbacks, like visually, was perfect.
Oh, do you mean the callbacks at the end?
No, I mean callbacks like the way it looks.
Oh, you mean callbacks the place?
Yes.
I thought you meant the callbacks to past episodes or something.
No, no,
I was
no,
thinking at
no.
the very end when they show stuff.
No, I mean like I thought it was just like perfect. It was just the perfect environment. And with the lights. I don't know. I just thought that scene was, yeah, it was phenomenal.
No, that was really good. Yeah, I mean, do you have anything else you want to say about that scene before that whole like section, I guess, before we move on? I mean, we definitely. I thought it was a little bit weird they all got back into bed with each other and were singing in bed. That's all I have to say for that. But
I guess that's true.
yeah.
But I mean, where else would they go?
Yeah, I'm on the couch, isn't there? I guess there's no couch, but I don't know. It just felt odd. I maybe because they were singing and we were like straight on as them lying in bed, and they were singing in bed with next to each. I It felt weird,
Yeah,
but
no, I get that.
what did you think of Brody in that scene? And I don't know, just his.
Brody.
Or just the whole Rachel Finn dynamic in that section, with.
Honestly, I think that's another like it's another really like sort of much more grown-up problem. Like Finn thinks he knows what's best for Rachel, and he thinks that he isn't what's best for her.
Yeah.
Rachel is still very much in love with Finn, regardless of like how they're different now, whatever. But she's no longer she can't just like accept that like Finn is going to do these things because he thinks it's best. Like
Yeah.
she's too grown up for that.
Yeah.
And he is honestly like really lagging behind her in terms of maturity at this
Yeah,
point.
definitely.
And I and but I just I felt like Finn this gave continuity from the end of last season to now. I think so much with his character.
Yeah.
They really got these characters down in
And
this episode.
I was just really happy because it sort of it raises up that earlier moment for me, the moment where he does like quote unquote set her free, because I remember, I mean, I don't think you were there when we had the podcast about it, because I think you were still at school and me and Dylan were talking
Yeah.
about it, but I had a lot of issues with it, with the whole idea of him having to be the one to being the great white knight that sets her free, and that they don't have a talk about it, and there's just I had a lot of issues, but
I absolutely, I was so annoyed at that.
I guess because like suddenly everyone is like, because I remember like seeing on Twitter like even people who didn't like Finn were suddenly like, oh Finn, he's the greatest thing, blah 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 and blah, and I was just like. And this just makes everything so much better. Okay, yes, there was a point in the time where he was sort of in a weird way the more matured person then in that scene, because he was like, he can't just like push her side life aside for me, because he was gonna do something stupid and not go to Niata right away.
Yeah.
So he was making the smarter decision, and she was naive. But now she's grown up from growing up, and he is now behind, and it shows the change, and it did it really well. And
Yeah. I this those two were fantastic.
yeah.
Just and by two, I mean two
Yeah.
couples of them.
Yeah.
It was just really handled beautifully.
Yeah. Unless you have anything more to say about that, I'm gonna move on.
Okay.
I really liked seeing Kurt and Finn together, because we very rarely see them acting like brothers.
Yeah.
That was nice change, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
And then okay, so we should talk about the Left Behind thing a little bit, I guess. It was weird.
They cannot make me sympathetic to any of these new characters at this point.
Okay, I don't think I'm on your level right now with that. I still, I mean, they haven't done anything to Marley to make me dislike Marley. I mean, they just haven't shown her enough.
No, I mean that's what I mean. Like
Okay.
I'm not actively disliking them,
Yeah.
but honestly they've given no reason for me to feel invested in them at all, especially when they paired that like very, very low level development with the like fantastic
Yeah.
things that are going on in New York. They're basically saying we need to show McKinley because we still have to do that, but we really wish we were just writing about Kurt and Rachel in New York.
Yeah, I can agree with you, especially because I mean they introduced them in the first episode, and we were all very happy with that and how they got introduced. And then, second episode they were barely in it, and what they had was really rushed. Third episode, did they have anything in the third episode? I don't even remember. Like, I don't think they had anything, right?
No.
And so.
Oh no. Jake was sitting with his arm around Marley and I don't think it was Kitty.
No. That it was someone who looked like Marley, and Marley was down a little further. I thought the same thing.
Oh, see, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, he just had his arm around like these two brunette girls that one of them looked exactly like Marley, so it was really confusing. But yeah, no, so it was just like they just dropped them, and I think, okay, like I actually think no matter what, even if they were great characters, it was the right thing for them to not be involved that much in this episode. But
But
the
the thing
issue was that
is, why
they
didn't they do this part in the last episode? Like, this is what really bothers me. Like, when they choose to use them, it's always at points where it's like to maximize my disliking of their presence. Like,
Yeah. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, they should have had, and first of all, they should never have done this part in general. They should have done a better version. But if they, what they should have had is in episode two should have been completely focused on them, for one thing. I'm gonna say, because episode one was barely focused on them. So episode two should have been completely focused on them. Have a good amount of them. Episode three and then four, it would have been fine that they weren't around for a little bit. It was stupid, and I think the reason that they brought them so much in this episode is for the people that aren't us, that are still, you know, freshmen in high school watching this, and that are like, wow, look at these adult people doing adult things. I want to watch people who are left behind.
Yeah.
I want to watch people.
But like, look, we have some young viewers, and I would venture to, or not viewers, listeners, and I would venture to say that they would agree more with us.
I think you're probably right. I think I'm mostly saying this is what the writers and the producers and everyone are thinking. And well, I mean, especially because I think the writers wanted to do a spin-off. I don't
This
know.
is what I feel like. I feel like the writers want a completely different show than what they have. I think the writers really want to make this. I think from day one they wanted it. I really think even Ryan Murphy, like, he wanted to make this a show about like the pains of growing up and like it could be sort of darkly humorous. And then he got this sort of like pop hit and he was like, oh, darn. Let me still try to these other things in. And they have a really great opportunity to do that with the people in New York, who I also think Ryan Murphy cares a lot more
I
about.
do.
He cares about Kurt and Rachel much more than
I
other
don't
people.
want to like make him into the saint though, because I do think that he's also the one who said this is a great opportunity for me to provide messages to America about alcohol and disabilities and all these things with these really over the top episodes. They're way overly focused on these issues with like Spanish teacher episodes and like, I mean, like,
Yeah,
but.
no, I mean, but I really do think that they don't, that I don't know. I don't know who cares about McKinley anymore.
I think that it, well, yeah, I mean, it is an interesting thing. I think that there are some probably maybe some shippers that are there are probably definitely shippers who are invested in Jarley right now. But
How I if you are invested in Jarley, please tell me what material you're working off of, because I haven't even seen, like, they've gotten so little screen time. From episode one, I could have shipped Jarley, but now that we're on episode five, I see no reason to think of them as human beings. They're just sort of like random people who are there.
Well, okay. Episode two, doesn't he like get in a fight to protect her or something? In episode three, episode three, no, episode four is when at the beginning they have that little conversation that Blaine and Brittany watch. I mean, they're a little.
But who are they besides a relationship?
That's a good question. I'd like to find out. Well, now we know that. Here's the other thing. Okay, so beyond the fact that it was well not well handled, what we learn is that Jake is like made fun of because he's neither black or white, and that he's like a pussy that can't like deal with emotion. So he like, even though he breaks up with Kitty, he still can't end up being with Marley. Like, so that's who Jake is. Like,
And Marley is someone with a fat mother who went to school.
And Kitty is literally insane. That's who she
Yeah,
is.
I feel like Kitty is what, like, Brittany. Kitty is like if Brittany and Quinn had some strange offspring.
She's just a caricature of everything terrible in life. Let's go. Okay, so let's focus a little bit more of our conversation. So, I mean, so we have a Left Behind thing. They have this really ridiculous scene with Tina's assistant, this random, Asian girl.
Wait, that's Tina's assistant?
Yeah, that's who that was.
Wait, what? Why does Tina have an assistant?
You don't even listen to the episode. No, Tina
Oh
even asked that question. No, so Tina's like, "Who is blah blah?" I forget. I don't remember what her name is, but like. Brittany mentions like all these people are going, and she mentions a name that nobody knows, and she and Santana's like, "Who's that?" And she's like, "Oh, it's Santana's assistant. After you guys graduated, everything got weird." And also,
yeah,
at the beginning of episode one, you saw her with an assistant.
Oh.
Yeah, and I understand not remembering that. So we had that weird thing happen. It was weird. We have Insane Kitty. They're gonna do Grease. Oh, we okay. So we didn't talk about this on the episode, which I think we talked about Grease before we were podcasting, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So we talked about the fact that I mean, you don't like Grease that much, is what you're saying.
No, not that much.
I'm a fan of Grease, but not necessarily of like a whole like I like a couple like three or four of the songs a lot, and it's mostly just like I like the. Play it's like the overall thing. I don't know how much I'm gonna enjoy hearing them sing all the songs, especially when we've already heard them sing like three or four of the main
Of the
ones.
best ones.
So I mean, but I mean, I'm glad they're doing some like a musical instead of just more of these nondescript mall songs. I'll give them that.
That's true.
Let's talk about. So we already mentioned the Will and Emma thing and how it was sort of weird. I mean. I think that they're both immature characters anyway, so I sort of bought it, but I don't know.
No. I mean, think about like how much more Santana and how much more mature Santana and Brittany were. We haven't talked about them yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the next bullet
Yeah.
point. Well, I mean, because I feel like we can talk about these two almost at the same time because they happen so close together, right? They both sort of came at the end of the episode, and the Britannia one had a song,
Yeah.
the Will and Emma one didn't.
Yeah.
And the Santana Brittany one made so much more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I felt emotions for them. They were incredibly mature about it. Brittany had her sort of emotional maturity, though she didn't want the relationship to end. But like, I don't know. It was a really nice scene.
My only issue with the Britannia thing, which I do agree with you, it was a really nice scene. Santana had a great speech. It made a lot. It felt realistic. It was great and everything. I just kind of wish that there was. I like that they had the little cult flashbacky thing where she like remembers like having the exchange of energy thing,
Oh,
but
yeah, that's true. I forgot.
yeah,
I just like didn't remember that,
yeah.
and it
But
was a lot better.
no, I wasn't. I don't dislike. I didn't dislike that. I mean, like, the phrase that she used was weird, but I'm glad they like were like showing like, oh yeah, I've had attractions. My
Look, that's how they could have brought in humor to the episode.
yeah, but I was gonna say my only issue with the Britannia thing is that. Santana's been gone for so long, and this is like her moment, sort of. Like she's the one who's choosing to do this. So I feel like we needed like one more scene in the middle. We had that opening scene, and we're having this ending scene. And the only scene that we really get in the middle is that really stupid Left Behind thing where Brittany says, that's how I felt when I was left behind.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see more of a push as to get Santana to that point, that more Santana.
Yeah, I can see that. But like, given the time they had, this is what it really bothered me. It was like that scene felt so much more real and connected
Yeah.
than like the Will and Emma one, which had a lot more building up to it.
Yeah. It was yeah. My mom, I remember my mom after the makeover episode was just annoyed with the way they handled that conversation too because they didn't before he even applied, like he goes to
Yeah, why didn't they talk
they should have
about
discussed like, okay, what does this mean? Are we going to push back the wedding?
Yeah,
So
no, like, what sort of idiotic, immature adults are they? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Remember how much, like, Pert and Blaine were talking about what was going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, they're really dropping the ball on Will this season.
This season, well, it
Well,
doesn't start
okay.
this season.
But, like, even, come on, even more.
Yeah, I yeah, know. This is why I just thought he should have not had a. Well, I see. I guess I don't have as much issue with this storyline because I foresee it as a storyline that leads to Will not being around for a long time. So I don't really care. As long as he goes away, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, because I either want him to not have a storyline and just be a good teacher character who's in the background, or to, be gone.
What do you think about the message that they're basically pushing about teachers?
I wanted to talk about that. I forgot about that. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, very weird. What is
It
what
also doesn't make any sense because Sue is still there. So what, is Sue a loser too because she's still staying there?
Or is this all an evil plot?
I thought that a little bit, but I don't think it is.
I don't know.
It didn't make any sense because Sue was like stayed for multiple championships. Why wouldn't she say like get another champ?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was just it's like
So I thought Will really enjoyed being a teacher.
yeah, I did too.
But
I think he
whatever.
was a great history teacher after he stopped being a Spanish teacher. Yeah, no, it's weird.
What happened to caring about the kids?
He only cared about the kids who left. He doesn't really care about Tina and Artie because nobody does.
Yeah, and see, no one cares about Jarley. And I really want to because I really like Jake and I really like Marley in theory. But I can't actually care about them because they don't exist.
Yeah, I know. Well, at least we get a nice line from Kitty where she says Obama's gonna lose in a ridiculous over-the-top fashion that came like out of nowhere. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was good. You can be crazy like that.
Yeah.
Also, plus, like, that's not that crazy. There are plenty of people like that.
Yeah, I go.
What do you think about Glee being like just so overtly political all the
It's Glee. I don't know. It would be sort of nice if they showed the other side a little bit better.
Yeah.
I guess they tried that. I think that's what they were attempting to do with Joe, right? They were attempting to like go into religion and like show like what conservatives might like feel about things and like have them be like.
Oh yeah, Joe.
Remember when he was a character on this show, him and Alex?
Remember with Samuel?
Yeah.
Just that.
Remember Alex and his drag character who hasn't done
Oh,
anything?
Unique said something in one of the episodes.
Really? You got a line? That's pretty cool. I wish I had a line. I wish I went on a reality show and went through all the paying to the reality show so that I could say a line. All right. And then so then we get to the end. We have this really great ending thing with Rachel and Finn and it's very, I mean, we already mostly talked about this, but I did like the specifically the line where she says, "I don't need you to give me my freedom. I am a grown woman."
Yeah, so fantastic.
So, good job, Rachel. I'm glad you stopped being a poop head from season one and two, and now are a very good character that I enjoy watching.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Specific songs?
Yeah, let's talk about the songs. So, we have we have Barely Breathing, which is oh, it's by Duncan Cheek. I didn't know that. With Blaine and Anne Finn. This is the
Oh
one
yeah.
where Blaine decides to go cheat.
Yeah, that was a good song because it fit
Yeah.
and it was fine. And yeah, like was the music the most fantastic thing ever? No, but like it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I do agree with you. Like, I kind of wish that it wasn't Finn and Blaine. I wish it was like one of them, and not like their voices didn't really blend together as much as I'd want. That it like felt kind of weird, but it was fine. Give your heart a break, Rachel and Brody. What do you think of
No.
that? No,
Me of Smash.
what?
It reminded me of Smash when what's her face sings karaoke and everyone's like, ew.
I liked it, but whatever. Then you get Teenage Dream, which we already talked for a lot about, so we're just gonna move on. Except the same was great. Is that even? Oh, that is. I think that actually is released. Gonna be released on the album, which I'm surprised about. I thought it was gonna be like a.
I can't. You know who would buy that and listen to it all the time is Dylan.
Yeah, but you're right about that.
Like, still, like that's exactly the sort of thing she would listen to. I can't imagine listening to that because it's too sad.
She said, I remember, I forget what a song it was that we were talking about at the end of last year, but she's like, man, I've been buying all these songs and they make me cry and it's so great. And I was like,
Dylan, come back to the podcast. She's so busy.
Then we have Don't Speak, which I very much enjoyed.
Yeah.
I like that song in general. I think it's a good song. Then we have Mine, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I've been Glee has been giving me a greater appreciation for Taylor Swift
I
between
thought that was great.
yeah. That's good. Good job. And then the scientist. So my internet was being weird, so I didn't get to see the end of the episode, so I didn't get to re-see the scientist, but I remember enjoying it. Is this the part where they it's okay, so they I vaguely remember them like showing scenes of the groups that the people getting together during this. Is that something that happened? Didn't they have like Will and Emma's first kiss and stuff?
I don't
I
remember.
can't remember.
That's great. Sorry. I saw this like a few hours ago and I don't remember.
I saw this like a month ago, so I have more of an excuse.
You definitely have an excuse. I have no excuse.
All
I'm lame.
right. So we could, I mean, we've been going for a while. We could just bow out now. Do you want to read that thing that you found online, or do you just want to end it?
No, we can just end it, and I'll just say that like I saw this thing on Tumblr called "The Top 10 Most Bewildering Choices by the Writers of Glee," and it's the source is "Your Heart Expands." So you might be able to find it, but yeah, it just has things like Finchel get engaged and like Quinn gets hit by a truck. Quinn tries to steal a baby. I mean,
My God.
yeah. And then
Wait, I forgot Quinn tried to steal a babe.
yeah. So then like their top two things are like Blaine cheats and break up the three most popular couples in one episode. But I don't think that either of those things are problems.
Oh yeah, we didn't really even talk about that. I bet some people are like way more upset about this than we are. We're completely on board for this, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know what I think is I think for us, like at this point, we're probably getting into one of the older demographics that watch Glee. And like those relationships really should all end.
Yeah.
Like Blaine and Kurt really loved each other and they still do really love each other, but Blaine doesn't have Blaine needs someone there. And Kurt doesn't have enough time to think about Blaine in high school anymore. He has his own
It's
future.
very similar for Britannia.
It's basically the same
And
thing.
see, now I only be okay with Rachel and Finn getting back together once Finn deserves it.
Right. I think that's
So
exactly right.
if they have a Finn redemption arc and then they get back together, go ahead. But I
Yeah.
think it will be more enjoyable to see these people dating and see these people on their own and to see them dealing with other issues that don't have to do with relationships because that's not what the show was originally about, shippers. Stupid people.
No, I understand shipping. Like, I totally understand shipping. I really, really do. I am on Tumblr. And, but like, none of these were healthy relationships at this point.
I'm
Like,
not
did they
like.
love each other? Yes. But were they healthy relationships? No. And so you, at a certain point, you have to look towards like what is best for these characters who you're invested in.
Yeah, and for all the shippers of Quinn and Rachel now, Quinn now Rachel's available, so.
Yeah,
But
so there you go. That's a bright spot.
I'm not saying that I dislike shippers. I'm just angry because the writers listened to them and made the entire show in season two about relationships, and that's not what the show was about. Yeah, they spent way too much time in the last two seasons on relationships when it's not the show's about more than that, and it should be about characters and about friend. I'd much rather see friendships and brotherly bonding and stuff like that than I'm not saying I don't want to see
Those
relationships.
don't get gift sets.
Yeah, brotherly bonding might.
Yeah, but then it would become like incest, like in Supernatural.
Right. We will have places to go and people to see and stuff to do.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you for listening. I'm gonna try to get this up as soon as possible whenever I get time. I'll get up before the new episode starts. So, yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Ending record.